World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, we used to sing this song when I went to World Harvest Church. That's a long time ago. Long, long time ago. Some of you know it's called, I don't know what the name of it. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power, precious blood of the Lamb. Y'all know that song, right? Everybody know that song? Heard that song? Let me ask you something. You believe that? You believe it, or is it just a song that we sing? If there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb, would it ever manifest? Is it just something you sing about, something you talk about? What kind of power? What do you mean? And I guess I was referring a little bit as we're getting ready to take communion. Go ahead and get yourself some elements. It can be a graham cracker. It can be whatever it is. I don't know if we take this seriously enough. I don't know if we do. You know, it's one of the commands, really, that Jesus, not Almighty God, not Yahweh, Jesus said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. He didn't say, you don't need to do that. Take that every once in a while. Hey, take a little bit of that if you want to every once in a while. Right? No. He said, as often as you do this. He said, there are some of you that are sick because you're taking that thing unworthily. And it's a representation of the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. If there's power in the blood, we talk a lot about that, don't we, really? Apply the blood of Jesus and the blood of the Lamb and the blood and the blood and the blood. And then he said, hey, listen, man, a lot of you guys are sick because you've been taking that thing unworthily, meaning, hey, number one, you ain't been taking it seriously. You've been taking it seriously. You've been taking communion, but you know, it's just something you do. And you don't realize that somehow, some way, that this thing becomes the actual power that we sing about, power in the blood. And this thing has healing power, but we don't believe that. We don't believe that. It has the power to heal in this blood, a semblance of what it was that he did on the cross. And I've had people, don't take this wrong, Joe. I've had people say, man, that communion, the beginning of the show takes so long. Coach, we want to get into the nitty gritty. And I think, wow, really? I must be really good if I'm upstage communion, if what I got to say is more important than communion. And I think maybe a part of it has to do with the fact that we don't take it seriously. God left this for us as a sign. These signs shall follow those who believe in my name. In my name, to cast out demons, to lay hands on the sick and see him recover, take up any deadly thing, shall not harm him. I don't know where that is, but that's what the scripture says. The blood. We can apply the blood spiritually, symbolically. I apply the blood to it. And he said, this is my body. This is my body right here, boys and girls. Given for you. It's like so many other traditions. We just make it a tradition, and we don't understand that within this body and blood of Jesus, wow, lies all power. Isn't that something? You ever looked at it that way? All healing. Did you know? Jesus said, healing is my children's bread. That's an odd phrase, isn't it? Children's bread. Healing is my children's bread. Because why? Well, any of your parents out there? You feed your kids, don't you? Don't you feed your kids? Man, I wonder, I was thinking about this the other day, I wonder how much money I've spent, me, I'm talking about now, feeding my kids. Anybody want to run up that number? What you think that would be? The cost of raising a child? That bread that they ate, that cost me something, man. And now I look around and they're great big people and they got children. And it, why? Because I fed them. We fed them. They took it for granted. What's for dinner, Mom? It's really kind of what we do here. Hey, what's for dinner there, Lord? What's for dinner? It's power. It's power. I got some good stuff today. But Joe, if you would, Joe gets up every morning. Not every morning. Joe's out in California. So it's, what, Joe, 4 o'clock out there? And I just want you to know I appreciate your faithfulness to do this. See, one of the things that I'm most proud of here at Coach Dave Live, if I'm allowed to be proud, is the number of ministries. I don't want to say we created because we didn't create them. But the demand that we put on you as an individual to get out of the daggone closet and get involved. And I look at my screen over here, and I notice, folks, as you watch this show, I know I'm always looking away, and I know that's distracting. But see, I have a screen in front of me. I can see faces. I see what's up on the screen. My screen is up here. My screen isn't here. So I'm sorry if you see me looking here or looking here. That's what's going on. But I look up here at the screen, and the number of ministries that have been launched out of this. And most of you went to church your whole life and nobody ever put a demand on your faith. Nobody ever told you nobody ever told you you could start a ministry. Nobody ever told you you could make a difference. You had to go fall in line behind that pastor and do what that pastor told you and line up and get the elders, let the elders tell you. And somebody say amen so I know that I'm talking to some friends out there. And that's
amen.
That's the thing that I'm most... At the end of the day, when people are going to say to you, Coach, what did you do with your life? I said, man, whew, I launched a lot of ministries. I launched a lot of ministries. And it's not me. It's the Holy Spirit. And to call upon your life, somebody finally made a demand on your face. Say, get out of your comfort zone and get gone, will you? And I'm going to tell you, he wants more of you to do it. If you cannot see how useless organized religion is, I don't know what to tell you. If you cannot see in the town in which you live, churches on every corner and the devil running everything, I don't know what to tell you. And so it's happening through little ministries like Cowboy Dave. You guys don't even know who Cowboy Dave is. We've been supporting him. He's down in Asheville. He got his phone stolen from him, if you can believe that, because phones, he got his bag stolen, his phone stolen. He went about 10, 12 days without a phone. Can you imagine that? Without a phone. My life's on my phone, right? And finally, I was able to talk to him yesterday, and he just went on and on and on and on and on and on and on about serving people and praying with people. And oh my goodness, the miracles of the Lord going on. I just kind of sit and said, daggone. How come I'm not doing that? Well, because I'm just sitting in my couch. That's why. Waiting for somebody to come along and put me in the game. Hey, time to get in the game. Fine. Hey, go start a ball game. When I was a little kid, my brothers and I, Mom let us walk about a quarter of a mile to downtown Hebron, to the ballpark, to downtown Hebron. Me and Joe, Dan, my three brothers. I had four brothers. Billy wasn't big enough yet. We'd walk, I'd put bat over. Do you guys ever do this? Do you ever take your glove and put it over the end of your bat and carry it? Did anybody ever do that other than me? And we would do that, and we'd walk down to downtown Hebron, and I'd have my bat over my shoulder with my glove on it, and we'd get to downtown Hebron. You know what? Other guys in town were doing it too. And the next thing you knew, there we were having us a pickup baseball game on the ball field in downtown Hebron. And my mom used to say to us all the time, boys, just get your gloves and go on down there. And that's what we would do. But that's what we try to do here. Hey, Ray, just get your glove, put it over your bat, and go down there. You'll find a place to play when you get down there, Ray. Your other guy's already down there playing. Hey, Randy, just get your glove, put it over your bat, and walk down there to that ball field. There'd be people down there already playing. And you're sitting home reading a magazine. You're sitting home waiting for your pastor to send you. Well, he ain't going to do it. He ain't interested in playing in the game. But if there's an unction on you, if there's a call upon your life to do it, you best get after it. and some of you will reach millions, and some of you will reach one who will reach millions. It's pretty simple, man. It's pretty simple. So, Joe, I'm honored that you'd come in here, get up every morning and come in here and give communion. And, you know, we aren't one big happy family. We don't all agree. We all have different perspectives on things. But at least we come in here every morning and we chew it up and we spit it out. And we remain friends at the end of it. And there are a lot of us going through a lot of stuff. I know Ray and Jane are walking through some issues up there. I know that I get up every morning, I think Bill Dunphy's in jail, Cal Zastro's in jail, Bevelin's in jail now. I mean, folks, there is calamity everywhere. It's part of life, I guess, huh? And it's really amping up against the seed of the woman, because the battle is between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. And for some reason, the Lord has given the enemy, he's given him a lot of power here at the end. Now, has the Lord given to him the power, or is it just a usurpation? Has the devil just taken the power? Because it's laying there, nobody's doing anything about it. So you say, okay, I'll grab that and run with it. Oh, you need somebody elected office? Yeah, I'll go do that. Oh, you need abortion legalized? Yeah, I'll go do that. And we get trapped in our theology. And our theology is it's only going to get worse. Just going to get worse, and we're going to get out of here. Well, that may be true. But if it's only going to get worse, for God's sake, start bailing, will you? Start bailing. Don't stand there and let the water come up over your head and drown your children and your grandchildren. Get a bucket. When's the last time you had a sermon, get a bucket at your church? Get a bucket. We get just the opposite. No, don't worry about the bucket. It's going to get really high and then we'll be out of here. It just absolutely amazes me. And I'm going to give you some good news later on. Joe, come on. Thanks for getting up, Joe. And hey, folks, those of you who think it's a waste of time here, then go get yourself a cup of coffee and we'll call you when communion's over.
No, this is not a waste of time, Coach. I guarantee that.
Hey, Joe, we act like it is. Come on now.
I know. I really started understanding it when about 3 years ago, a little bit more than 3 years ago, you had a challenge for us. Matthew 26:26 for 26 days.
Yeah.
At home. And yeah. And I had never done that before. And I took it seriously.
So, Joe, just before I came down here this morning, I just had the most precious laying on of hands of my wife. Because, you know, I've been dealing with some physical issues. Bible says this is children's bread. This is going to heal me. She laid her hands on me and prayed over me. Rather than complaining about it, she said, well, let's just take authority of it. So I'm Joe, I can't wait because this is the children's bread and I'm going to get healed this evening.
There's a book called The Meal That Heals, I think. Yeah. I think it was Perry Stone that wrote it, and he's not too far from your country, right? Is he? He's a little bit south, right?
Right. That's right. But Joe, I'm going to get healed this morning. I'm going to have me some bread here. I'm going to get me healed. Go ahead, bro.
Well, I'm going to remember that and try to put that in my prayer. See if my brain can keep that thought.
Amen.
Because it is a bit earlier in my brain right now than it is in yours. Okay.
Okay, enough small talk, Joe. We want to get to the nitty gritty here. Let's go.
Yeah. saying this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you.
Wow.
Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry.
So that blood must be pretty powerful stuff, huh?
Yeah, and the verse 19, I think, is referring to Moses. And since we just had, a big day on Friday and Saturday, you know, I thought this was appropriate. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission.
Isn't that unbelievable? I didn't know this was going to be your scripture. Isn't that something? Folks, did anybody see that as an amen from the Holy Spirit right there?
It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God for us.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others.
Wow.
For then he must, often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now in the end of the world hath he appeared to be put away sin by the sacrifice of himself.
My goodness.
And as it is appointed unto men to die, once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation.
Man.
No, I'm getting the tingles.
Me too.
Thank you, Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with gratitude for this day that you have made, and that you have seen fit to let us join you in it, and let us join here together. And we are grateful for all you have done and are doing in our lives. We're so grateful for Christ being Adam 2.0 and having fixed what was broken and lost in the garden. And we pray for our brothers and sisters in the Eastern U.S. still dealing with life and death issues because of this storm, and also because of the authorities not doing their role in helping people. This, what's happening there, Lord, is not good. So we ask that you bring your hands into it. Bring your hands to fix it. Bring your hands to chastise those who are not allowing people to be helped or saved, and or who are actually perhaps even directly harming them. So we ask that your hand bring judgment where it must. And we ask that this communion that we take here, this meal that heals, let it heal our spirits and our bodies. But let our prayers help you heal all those afflicted by these terrible storms. And we here understand that these storms have been either created or enhanced by our technology and steered like a bulldozer. And we pray, Lord, that the truth be revealed very quickly so the country and the world can really understand what is in the heart of our government. And Lord, we remember now that we are your ambassadors. We ask that you dwell in us and tell us when and how we should act, what we should say, what we should do. And please help us not to be disobedient. And please have us hold our tempers when we wrongfully want to do something, and only to flip the tables when you tell us, Lord, as you did in the temple. We cannot be the judge of these things. You are the judge, Lord. And Lord, we ask for guidance through and protection of us and our loved ones and all things dear to us through this today and through the weekend. And as we come into the fall, we thank you for the changing colors on the trees. We thank you for all the marvels you have in our world. And most of all, we're so grateful that we worship a God that gave his only begotten Son, that we who believe in him may not perish, but will have everlasting life. We ask you to bless this bread and this drink representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that was shed for us so many years ago. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Man.
Thank you, Coach.
Amen, Joe. Thanks. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. I wouldn't. It just, the Holy Spirit just spoke it to me. Literally just did. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. Now, strong, strong evidence. Listen, strong evidence. In fact, my wife said it to me this morning. Strong, strong evidence. Ivermectin kills cancer. Did you guys know that? Strong, strong evidence. Ivermectin kills cancer. Now listen, folks. I believe cancer is a fungus. I think it's a fungus.
Mm.
And ivermectin is a fungicide, if you will. And we all know this, right? That using ivermectin, why, that would be for a doctor to prescribe ivermectin. What, how would he explain that to his brothers at Harvard? And so this just absolute normal stuff that's out there works. And so I'm just passing. Look, just Google ivermectin and cancer. Just Google it. There'll be 100 articles on ivermectin and cancer. Huh? Amen. 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 All right. I wanted to throw that out there. Look at that. Ivermectin, a potential anti-cancer drug. That's from 2021. There's even more and more and more and more. They've been lying to us. Boy, that devil has been lying to us again. All right, let me get where I want to go here. Get my thing back up here. All right. Wow.
Hey, Coach, just can I say something real quick? Just
yes, sir, please do. It is Flea Flicker Friday, Craig, so we'll let you in here.
Well, I think this just goes to what, you know, Matthew 26:26, because you know how I think. I think numbers. Well, 26 is the number of Yohe, right? Which is 26 in Hebrew. Each Hebrew letter has a number to it, right? And so I put in there a couple little things. It says, in Hebrew, the numeric value of God's name is 26, giving it special significance. 26 represents divine love, God's promises, and his unwavering commitment to his word. Bible references include 26 generations from Adam to Moses and 26 mentions of his mercy endures forever in Psalm 136. So there's a link in the chat. So I just want to say, when you said the challenge, Matthew 26:26, that was the Holy Spirit. And here you have a numeric confirmation of that.
Yeah.
So it's just so powerful to see how everything in God's word always comes together for his glory.
Amen, man. Huh? If we didn't try to figure it out so much, if we just obeyed, we wouldn't be in nearly the mess we're in. Come on in, Eileen.
What would you explain the challenge, the 26:26 challenge?
Craig, can you do that for me?
I think Joe said that you made a challenge a couple of years ago to do communion for 26 days. Is that right, Joe?
That's right. We did. I forgot all about that.
Yeah, it was September, month of September, the year that our good friend Mr. Dizdar passed.
Before, I forgot all about that. That's right.
Yeah. And it was beginning of September. And I was on a team praying just after that, I think, praying imprecatory psalms against all the things the enemy was doing because of the attacks, and Halloween was around the corner too.
Amen. So let's think about this, folks. I'm listening. The Holy Spirit, I don't think we understand the Holy Spirit totally, really. We don't. We're supposed to obey. And we don't, we really don't understand that power that's available to us, right? He gives us plans. He gives us ideas. Sometimes we follow them. Sometimes we don't follow them. And I could spend a whole show hearing what happened from Randy when he obeyed, from Craig when he obeyed, from Dave Allison when he obeyed, from Jeff Klein when he obeyed. I could go on and on and on. And the question we ought to ask ourselves, why is it we don't obey more? Do you ever have the small, still voice say something to you? Do you ever during the course of your day say, God, where'd that come from? Where'd that thought come from? Bible says, take captive every thought. Take captive every thought. Lord, is that you? Did you say that, Lord? Is that you, Lord? And often, what I do in my own walk, often I will say, Lord, I heard that. I heard that to let him know that I know. I heard that, Lord. Sometimes it'll be some tell me to do this or do this or don't do this or don't do that. And when that happens to me, I acknowledge, I heard that, Lord. Do you guys do that? I heard that, Lord. And then go do it. And then go do what he told you. This is supernatural is so common. It should be so common. Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. Another voice they will not hear. That's what it says. Do you hear his voice? Do you trust and then obey? Do you hear him and then go do it? Do you? I don't think we do. And I think part of it comes back to our theological upbringing that it has to go through the church and the pastor and the pulpit and yada, 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 yada. That there's no way that you could get a personal word. What do you mean? You get personal words all the time. All the time. When I was a football coach, I gave personal words to all the players all the time. Some things I said directly to a player wasn't meant for everybody. But the Holy Spirit inside of you, and you don't believe the Holy Spirit can speak to you? And if you don't hear that voice? I don't know how I got on this. I don't know how I got on it. But there's good stuff going on and wicked, wicked stuff going on. And I'm gonna jump in. Randy's got a manifestation of the Holy Spirit I want to be able to do. Let me do it. Spencer, clear down at the bottom. There's a thing, not clear down at the bottom. There's a standalone email that says Cowboys List. I spoke to Dave, Cowboy Dave. He's from Newark, by the way. He's down. Here's what he sent yesterday. If you guys are because we're going to run more trips down there. Here's what Cowboy Dave, he's been down there a week. This is the guy that lost his cell phone for 7 days. Here's what they need. Tables, mops, brooms, propane heaters, generators, laundry detergent, cots, cleaning supplies, shovels, rakes, buckets, shampoo and conditioner, propane grills, propane small and big, charcoal grills, charcoal, tents, cables, locks. Folks, these people don't have a house. Some of them are living in tent cities. Grass seed, deodorant, size 5 and 6 and 7 diapers, toilet paper, paper towels. See, just really, really simple things that we don't even think about. Daily stuff that you have to use, they don't have it. They don't have it. And he said you can go on Amazon. I didn't realize it. I mean, I did. You can go on Amazon and you can order tents. And if you have an address, send it to them. Don't do that right now, but I'm just trying to show you that there's a lot of good stuff going on. And yes, we're still working behind the scenes to put together an effort down there because Grindstone's pulling out. One that we partnered with, Grindstone's pulling out just because a lot of reasons, but the work that they do there, they say is done. And they don't want to go up in those hills, up in that poison dirt up in there and put people up in there. So we're finding other people to work with. Just relax. We'll get it all done. We're all still going to go there, yada, yada, yada. Okay? So there's Cowboys List. Maybe some, I don't know, Spencer, I don't know how you put that in the chat, but that would be a good thing to stick into that. Can I? Yeah, of course I can. Of course you can. Pull up number 3. I wrote yesterday. I wrote 2 days ago. I didn't read this yesterday, did I? And did I read this yesterday? Did I read it? I read it off of my website. Okay. Then I won't read it again, right? why men will never vote for Kamala. So let me throw something else in there that I think is just, you know what I'm finding out? I can't believe the number of people who are not voting or voting for a third party. And I'm just telling you from my perspective, I don't know if black or white has ever been more obvious than it is right now. Now, where is that list? I sent it to you. Daggone it. I know I did. I'm looking. Two wrongs don't make a right. Maybe that's it. Scroll down here. Maybe that's what it is, right? Scroll on down. Okay, good. I think this is it. I'm not voting for Trump. I'm voting for America. I'm going to say that again, all right? I don't know who wrote this. Someone recently asked me why I like Trump. My answer was, I don't. I don't like the way he speaks. But this election is not about choosing the most likable person. How's that worked for us, by the way? We're voting between two very different ideologies. We're voting for the country we want to leave our children and our grandchildren. Trump represents that future and has proven that he can deliver. He's a patriot to the core and even served his country for 4 years without a pay. After being asked this question a few times, why would you vote for Trump? By colleagues and friends, even family members, I thought about actually putting it in writing. Then I came across this. I'm sure it's been copied and edited and pasted many times, but it's a start. The moment when someone says, I can't believe you're voting for Trump, I simply reply, I'm not voting for Trump. I'm voting for the First Amendment and freedom of speech. I'm voting for the right to speak my opinion and not be censored. I'm voting for secure borders and legal immigration. I'm voting for election integrity, including mandatory voter ID. Why would anybody vote against that? I'm voting for the Second Amendment, my right to defend my life and my family. I'm voting for the police to be respected once again. I'm voting for law and order and an end to allowing protesters to trespass and burn our cities, destroy innocent small businesses. I'm voting for personal responsibility and the end of the revolving door where criminals are being put back out on the street. I'm voting for the next or justice to protect the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. I'm voting for a return of our troops from foreign countries and the end to America's involvement in foreign conflicts. I'm voting for the Electoral College and for the republic in which we live. I'm voting for the continued appointment of federal judges who respect the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. I'm voting for keeping our jobs to remain in America and not being outsourced all over the world to China, Mexico, and other foreign countries. I'm voting for keeping our jobs. Oops, I'm sorry. I'm voting for doing away with all the freebies given to all the illegals and not looking after the needs of American citizens and homeless veterans. I'm voting for the military and the veterans who fought for this country. I'm voting to keep men out of women's sports. I'm voting for the peace progress in the Middle East. I'm voting to fight against human trafficking. I'm voting for religious freedom. I'm voting for the return of teaching of math, history, and science instead of the indoctrination of children. I'm not just voting for one person. I'm voting for the future of my country. I'm voting for a republic, not communism. I'm voting for my children and my grandchildren to ensure their freedoms. America is the greatest country in the world, hence why everyone wants to immigrate here. So why do you want to change it? Why do politicians want to enact policies that have failed in other countries through history? I'm not voting for Trump. I'm voting for America. Now, here's what I say. You go back there and you read that list. Harris is on the exact opposite side of every one of those things. Trump the perfect guy? Of course not. How stupid would that be? But do you have any idea what the hell America is going to look like if we get Kamala Harris as president of the United States? Dudes. Oh, my goodness. Let me go here. Come on in, moderator.
Well, I had a point there that yesterday came up with. Anyway, see, so if we say if he gets in, why does the media and all you know, the dark side there, why are they so afraid of him? Can one man have that much impact on the world event? And if so, How strong is their world event if one guy can bring the whole thing down?
It must
it's
not be
a house of cards, man. I'm telling you.
That's it's right. A house of cards. What? Why? Well,
they are not who they say they are.
They are not. They are not who they say they are, man. They're not. Hey, Spencer, pull up for me here real quick. Well, it doesn't have to be real quickly. Pull up for me. Bring peace. Bring peace. I came across this today. Go ahead and play that.
To the Democratic Party, I'm voting for Trump, but I have to say, you guys got me on this one. You're correct. I can definitely see that Trump is causing division. You guys have said over and over, you said, how can you as a Christian support somebody like Trump when all he's here to do is cause division and separation? And you're right. So let me read something to you. This is Luke 12, 51 to 56. And this is Jesus speaking in the Bible. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to this earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it's going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be a scorching heat, and it happens. But you are hypocrites. You know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? This may have been written thousands of years ago, but make no mistake that this is for now. You see a man running for president with his own money, his own funds. You see a man that for some reason, all of the government, all of the media, all of the corporations have turned against him. You, with your own mouths, have said that he's here causing division. You, with your own eyes, have seen full-on Democrats switch to his side. You, with your own eyes, have seen two assassination attempts. You, with your own eyes, can see now that there's a complete separation with how people are voting. We're not voting red or blue anymore. It is obvious that we are now voting good and evil. We are now voting for God's laws or against God's laws. And it says it right here. When Jesus came the first time to die for our sins, he did not come to bring peace. He came to cause a division, to make there be a choice. You had a choice to choose a living God standing right in front of you or to choose the enemy. He made it clear. He made it obvious. He stated who he was. He stated what he stood for. And here we are again. And if you look at the policies, then you see who stands for God. With their policies, it has become very clear which side is good and which side is evil. You can talk about Trump all you want to, but it's not about Trump. It's about the choice to stand for God's laws or against God's laws. It's about the choice to stand for evil or against evil. It's obvious to see who the evil side is. And this is not to say that the Republican side is perfect. However, this is to show that the heart of the Republican side is for the laws of God. We are against the evil policies of the Democratic side. We are against the evil policies of Satan. We are against the evil policies of the satanic ways of the Democratic side, which have become very obvious. You, with your own mouths, have stated that Trump is here causing division. And best believe that is exactly what God is using him for. He is using Trump to make the division very easy to see for everybody. If you don't see it, you better start praying now. We're rising up now. We've sat here long enough. And the time is coming. You are seeing prophecy be fulfilled right in your face. You are seeing a division happening right now. And pretty soon a harvest will begin. A separation of the wheat and the tares. A collection of the people who are for God. Believe me or don't believe me, it's not my job to force you to believe anything. However, I'm going to make sure that you have no excuse to say that you didn't know. It's coming, y'all. Be ready.
Amen. It's good, isn't it? Huh? Good and evil. Good and evil. We can run down the line. I'm going to get off the election. Not about the, it is about the election, but it's not about the election. Hey, listen. Gold and silver, record highs. Both of them. Look, folks, it's just starting. It's just starting. And remember, buying gold and silver is not spending money. It is an investment. At Cost Metals, we've been promoting it here. Many of you have got some money and some metals. Come on, man. How long are you going to watch and see what's going on? Paper dollars, no good. Paper dollar. You know, the devastation down in North Carolina, they're going to paper dollars? They're going to print more paper dollars? I got to get Randy in here, but I'm going to give Craig and Jeff and Roger a shot. And Randy, I want you to come in and talk about what you got there. Go, Craig.
Well, Coach, I sent you a sign there. I was up there hanging a political sign. But yesterday I went to a local, I like prophecy conferences, but Bill Federer was a guest speaker. I paid $40 to get his thing. I don't know if you can see that. You know what that book says? I'm going to read it for you. It says, silence equals consent, the sin of omission. And boy, did he hit it hard. You ought to go buy that book. Because you know what he did? He went right through scripture about all the times when you sat silent and you were held guilty. And one of the ones that comes to mind that most everybody will know is Paul, right? When Stephen was being martyred, Paul said nothing. And the scripture says he was guilty. Paul said, I am guilty because I did not speak. And that's a really good book. And we can get this election is downstream, okay? You say, I'm not going to vote. So you're not going to go vote? You're not going to go vote for the local people over you, your school board and all this other stuff? I knew this gentleman, Neil Parrott, for 6 years. And the Lord told me, go print off the Department of Homeland Security report in August that there's 465,000 unaccompanied children and that they can't find 36,000 of them. The own government's report, Department of Homeland Security, and I paid $100 to have a piece of pie with this man because the Holy Spirit said, go. I texted him. I have him on my phone. I want to come. He said, okay, come. And you know what? I gave it to him, and I said, you know, there might be an upcoming debate. And he said, you know what, Craig? I'm debating my opponent this Sunday. And he used it Sunday. I'm just telling you.
Amen.
Being quiet. Don't think you're off the hook. Because you're going to stand as Christ.
That's right. Amen. Missed opportunities, baby. Missed opportunities. Jeff, then Roger, and then I'm going to get Randy in here. Go ahead.
Coach, would you have Spencer put that in there about why I'm not voting for Trump? I'm going to use that tomorrow on the square with my all the info we've had this week. We'll share that tomorrow.
Yep. Hey, folks, look. If you go down issue by issue, again, it's not about Trump. In my opinion, it's not about Trump. One wants to murder babies. One doesn't. One wants to mutilate babies. One doesn't. One wants to let Mexicans in. One doesn't. To me. Go ahead, Jeff. Is that it? Go ahead, Roger.
Yeah. Well, I don't know where this fits in, but what's this Friday called? What do we get to do? Throw a Hail Mary Friday. But
Flea Flicker Friday.
You know, I woke up this morning and there's 80 people from my church on a cruise ship right now. And they're over in Greece and Italy and I guess refiguring a little bit where Paul went and so forth. But Dave, we all need to have some fun. I go get a nice steak and a baked potato and so forth. I get an adult beverage and that's my, but they're on a cruise. 3 weeks. All is going him on our just puzzled. I think we have no idea how many people have no idea what's going on. They think this is another election. They think all that's happening on in the Middle East is so just a normal political day.
You're breaking up, Raj. See, they think what's happening in the Middle East is a good thing. Right? Go on now. They actually think that way. It's a good thing. Yeah. Yeah, the world blowing up. That's a good thing. I'm telling you. Lord help us. Thanks, Raj. I want to get Randy in here because Randy sent it this morning. I know I've come to value. Come to value when Randy hears from the Lord, I've come to value it. And Randy has written a thing called 9 Manifestations of the Holy Spirit. So Randy, I'm just going to jump out of the way and let you, as Spencer has it, throw that up on the screen. Randy, you talk a little bit about this. Because again, folks, it comes back to the same thing. Same thing as taking communion. We don't believe in the supernatural. We don't believe it. We think I don't know what we think the Bible is. I really don't know. And I credit Randy with, well, he's opened my eyes. So go ahead, Randy.
Coach, I believe it. I believe it. And I know many of us do, Coach, but we get sidetracked and we get pressed. I don't know why we don't stay with it, but we need to, because he's God on the earth, Coach, and he's action. He is the living word. And when we tap into that, Coach, there ain't nobody can stop us. There's nobody that can stop Jesus being king over our nation. There's nobody that can stop justice and righteousness. There's nobody that can stop the church when they tap in to the power of God and the power of demonstration. So I'm laying in bed this morning, Coach. I woke up at 1:30, and I'm just sitting there pondering. You know, prayer, Coach, a lot of times is just pondering. It's meditating. It's listening. It's just listening to the Holy Spirit. It's just having your heart open. And I just laid there, and he just began to speak to me. And I've been trying to put this in words for a long time. And he said, just go write it. So I came in here in my office, and I got on the computer, Coach, and I wrote this out. It took me about 3 or 4 hours. And it's simple. It's too simple to miss. So what's a manifestation, Coach? What is that? What is the manifestation of the Spirit? It's the evidence of the Holy Spirit, the things that we can see in the natural and say, there he is. There he is right there. I see him in time. I see him in that place right there. And when we can get a hold of that, Coach, and we can just say, here I am. I'm your vessel. Use me. I'll do it. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You know, we quoted all these scriptures our whole life, Coach. I've been a Christian, and I've quoted all these scriptures, and I know them. You know them. Everyone knows them. But when you tap into the Holy Spirit, you live them. It's different. So anyway, Coach, I'm not trying to say I'm spiritual than anybody else, but
Randy, I have to be
spiritual, Coach.
I jumped on Webster's, Randy. Manifest, plain, open, clearly visible to the eye or obvious to the understanding, apparent, not obscure or difficult to be seen or understood. So to manifest means you see it. Boom, you see it.
Yep. So, Coach, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm not trying to make this a big, long teaching. I'm trying to show us that we can all participate in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. If we will, but a lot of times what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to put our theology on the shelf, Coach.
Yeah.
We're going to have to set it on the shelf and ask God to show me what I don't see. Show me where I have to be untaught.
Nothing has hindered the move of God in America more than theology.
Amen, Coach. That's so true. I've had to come out of a lot of it myself, and I'm still coming out of it, Coach. Mm-hmm. So here's the point, Coach. These 9 manifestations, and if you really study chapter 12 here, you know, when you The word gifts, there's an italics. It's not in the real, it's really not there. The real reading is now concerning spirituals, plural, spiritual things. Because we've made these gifts, Coach, we think, oh, well, I don't have that one. I don't have to walk in that. Oh, I know Joe, Brother Joe over there. He's got the gift of prophecy. He'll take care of that. And the fact is, Coach, this isn't the gifts that Paul's teaching. No. He's teaching the gifts he's talking about are the offices in Ephesians chapter 4, which is the fivefold ministry. And then he's talking about the charisma gifts, which are in Romans chapter 12. There's seven of those. And those are things that are in you. You're born with those.
Everybody can operate in those.
Everyone has gifts. They have skill sets, and they can do lots of things for the kingdom of God. But, Coach, these are not gifts. These nine are the manifestations of him. So whenever you see Craig, if he goes out, Coach, and he goes into a crowd and he's preaching the gospel and he says, hey, wait a minute. I hear God is giving me something. And now we've seen the fake. Okay, don't judge it all by the fake. There has to be a real original for someone to make a fake. Okay, so look, we're looking for the original truth of the Holy Spirit. So Craig sees God says to him, there's a little girl here that's praying to be healed. I want you to just go anoint her with oil. I'm going to heal her. Okay. He heard a word of knowledge. And then he goes into her and he touches her and Holy Spirit heals her. Okay. That was all the Holy Spirit. All Craig did was he obeyed the Holy Spirit, and God used his body to touch her and to do the miracle. We are the vessel, Coach, and we're not perfect people. We'll never be. But a heart that says, God, like Isaiah, he just says, use me. I'm unholy. I'm a man of unclean lips, but use me. And God says, I'll clean you up right here. I'll use you. And he did. And that's how he looks at us, Coach. We all have personal failure. But he uses us because we have a covenant relationship with him. We're our son, his sons and his daughters. So Coach, when I here's the question I got laying on my bed there. Did Jesus not have to come in the flesh in a body and be manifested in order for us to understand the will of God and to get it? Yes, he did. Sure, he did.
Well, Jesus said, because you have seen, you have believed. So the manifestation does, in fact, matter.
That's right, Coach.
Blessing those who believe and have not seen.
So I'm laying there and I'm going, okay, well, how do we see the Holy Spirit? Where does he manifest? How do we see it? Well, there you go, Coach. There's nine faces right there of the Holy Spirit. So when any one of us are used in these manifestations, we can see it. It's in the natural. We can see it. We go to a parade and there's witches over there and you're just going, I can discern that spirit right there. That's pretty easy. Mm. It's the Holy Spirit. He's showing us what we can't see. And then in the supernatural
realm, amen, brother. Well said, showing us what we cannot see.
That's what it's all about, Coach. So when you understand that you can be used in any one of these, in any particular place and time, in any place, then you don't just limit it, Coach. The church has limited this because they say, well, oh, the pastor, he's got the gift of prophecy. Yeah. Or Sister Heather has the gift of discerning of spirits. And we let them say, well, I don't have that gift.
Amen. That's but right.
Coach,
that's
right. If we will see ourselves being the hands and the feet of God, being his boots on the ground, being his people, his church, his saints, then when he taps you on the shoulder and he goes, hey, I'm right here in you. I'm with you, daughter. I'm with you, son. But I really, really want to do some things today. I really want to manifest myself today. Will you obey me and will you take me there and let me do this?
You let him manifest so others can see.
That's how they see him, Coach. Yep. And I mean, we could just read through this. I've written out some things here. So, okay, so I do want to read it, Coach. I want to read this if I have time.
Yeah, it's on the screen. You got about 6 minutes.
So it just says, these are not gifts. A gift is different. You possess your gift 24/7. You do not practice these manifestations or you do them at your will. This is God. This is the Holy Spirit. This is Him. This is His method. And there are 9 spiritual ways that the Holy Spirit manifests the will of God through His saints in a specific time and a specific place. And I threw in there number 9. It's no wonder He chose 9, because 9 is the perfect number of being complete, final. So that's all He needs, Coach. He doesn't need 50 methods. He doesn't need 1. He's got 9. That's perfect number. So I'm saying, if you have a problem with this, if your theology is holding you back or telling you, oh, that was for then, you don't need those today, or da-da-da, whatever, then that's your problem. You have a problem, and you need to put it on the shelf, because we must show the world. We must show God. We must show them Christ. We must show, and how do we do that? Yeah, we love things. We love people, but you really, when they see the power of God working in you, they have no excuse. They are without excuse, Coach. This stuff can't happen. And you know, the soul realm, the witches, they all tap into their soul power. And they move. They might move an object or something now and then if they're lucky. But they have no power, Coach.
No.
They have the power of agreement.
Counterfeit.
But this is real. This is real-time power. And here's what I really like about this, Coach. It says you do not need a building. You don't need an organization to operate in the manifest sessions of the Holy Spirit. All you need to be willing.
Amen. It's pretty simple, huh? Coach,
when we begin to operate in these things, and you know, I've seen it in the church house in my life. I've seen people, I've heard them speak in tongues and interpret it and prophesy and be healings, and that's fine. That's fine. But why don't they do it outside the four walls?
That's right, brother.
Where is the church outside the building? Because they don't know how to be the church outside the building.
They don't know how to do it. They don't know they're supposed to wield that sword outside of the church. They haven't taught us this.
So Coach, on the other page, I just did a short on the 9 manifestations. I just did a really short. I mean, you could write a page on one of them, or you could write a chapter on each one of them. But I just tried to condense them down so that we can understand that when we feel that unction or feel a move of God in our spirit man, this is what He's trying to do. Mm-hmm. And we need to acknowledge, okay, He's wanting to use me right here in the miracles. I can see...
You mean He can use you? He doesn't have to use the elder? He doesn't have to go through the pastor?
Amen, Coach. Amen.
He can just speak to you, and you can just obey what you heard Him say, and He'll move through you? Really?
Yeah, Coach. Most churches teach, well, if you'll come to our church, we'll show you how to do some of this stuff or not do it.
Yeah.
And to me, that's foolishness, Coach. That's I don't know, that's love of self, I think, more than anything else. And saying, oh, we're the ones that have it right. Well, look, God's getting ready to throw you. He's going to throw your teaching in the trash. You just better get ready for it, because Coach, here's the problem. The church hits the wall where they don't know where to go. When their theology stops right there, then where do they go? What's next? They can't go anywhere, Coach, because their organization won't let them. And I'm telling you, these denominations are over. The theology of we can just wait on God till He takes us out, that's over.
It's dead. It's dead theology.
The move of God, and it's going to be because people understand who they are in Christ and how let the Holy Spirit manifest through them. That's what's going to make the difference.
Wow, Randy, is this in the chat for people, Spencer? People can get this. It's worth some reading and handing out some pondering and what's going on. Huh? Come on, man. Wake up that gift that is inside you. We have been so programmed that we are just little minions, just little people sitting at our Father's feet, incapable of doing anything, as we look around and the world is ravaged with sin and by the works of the wicked one, and there's just little old me not thinking that I can do anything about it, begging our pastor maybe to get involved with it. I think that age is over. I think we're moving into a new time and a new place and a new manifestations of the sons of God. What a time to be alive. Have a great weekend. See you tomorrow.